Evening. It's great to be with you in this Resurrection Sunday. And it is wonderful to meditate in God's words. Thank you, team, for leading us in worship. So we carry on with our series on 1 Thessalonians. So won't you open your Bibles in chapter 3. And today's section will be from verse 6 to 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, from 6 to 13. This is what the Word of God says. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Oh Lord, we ask you again that you would speak to us. You are a living God, and we have in front of us your living word. And Lord, we ask you that you will speak to us tonight. Speak to, starting with my own heart. Help me and help us to hear what you are saying to us as your body. So I ask you, Lord, that you will strengthen me to faithfully proclaim your word tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This section that we're going to do tonight, I'm really just kind of carrying on and picking up from where Jabu left us off last week, and still going to talk about the joys of genuine community. We're just going to carry on talking about community. And I think it was last year, I was just listening to a podcast where a believer was interviewing an agnostic or atheist. I think he was an agnostic. I tried to go back to listen to that interview again, but I couldn't remember the name of the guy, and I couldn't remember when it was, so it was hard. But he was writing a book about Christian experience, and as his homework, him as an agnostic would go to churches and experience, and he was writing about that. And something very interesting that he mentioned to Justin Briley, who was the interviewer, was the one thing very unique about the church is their community. He said there is nothing like it out there. Clubs, social gatherings, all that, nothing equates like what we have in the church as a community. And I just thought, wow, that is very interesting that an agnostic that will have such impression of the church. He, you know, in terms of spiritual experiences and songs and prayers and all of that, you say you can find in other things. But he was saying, what really was unique from my experience while going visiting churches is this, their sense of community. There's nothing like it. And as we carry on talking about community, I want to point out three other joys of a genuine community from our passage. And the first one is that of the joy of accountability. All right? And we see this accountability section in actually this entire text that we are talking about, because the section that we are reading is a report that Timothy brought back to Paul. Now, we understand that this is a slightly different context in terms of we are Baptists, we believe in the autonomy of the local church, so we're not writing reports to an apostle outside of the church that is going to be checking out on Central. But I think it is, the point remains that accountability is part of a genuine community of faith. And this is inferred from this text, but we can see this teaching of accountability all throughout the New Testament. Now, I'm just gonna run through a whole bunch of examples, okay? And we're gonna play a little game here, right? I'm gonna start, and then you're gonna say one another, all right? Are you ready? Here we go. Love. Live in harmony. Build up. Admonish. Greet. Care. Forgive. Be patient with. Speak the truth, bear with, teach, comfort, encourage, exhort, pray, confess your faults. And those are just the positive statements. We read also negative commands. Do not lie to one another. Do not grumble against each other. And there is over 80 references to the one another's throughout the whole New Testament. Now, look at this verse in Romans 12, verse 5. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And Joe made reference to this last week. Remember? I was the big toe, apparently. So what do these examples necessarily imply? These examples necessarily imply accountability. How do you exhort one another if you don't know what the person is going through? How do you care for one another if you don't know what their needs are? How do you pray for one another better if you don't know what's going on in their lives? What is abundantly clear in the New Testament teaching is that the community of believers is, or at least is supposed to be, in each other's lives. There's just no way that you read the whole New Testament with all this bunch of one another's, one another's, one another's, and you're able to simply not be part of each other's lives. That's just not a community. The New Testament clearly expresses that the church is made of members, and we belong to one another, and this implies accountability. And this, let me say this, this kind of accountability cannot be forced or coerced. It needs to start from, and Jabu mentioned this was his first point last week, a love from Christ and for Christ. I can't force you to open up to me or to others, but it's as we love Christ, I want to grow in Him, and then you realize I actually need brothers and sisters who are going to help me to grow in Christ. Community, the church community, is the way that God has designed for us to grow. There is just no growing by your lonesome self. You have to have that one another. You have to be praying for one another and caring for one another. And even if you think about it, the gifts that you have received from God, every single person that has surrendered their life to Christ, God has placed a gift for the edification of His body. Now, just think with me here. How are you supposed to manifest that gift and use that gift by yourself? It has to be in a context of accountability, of one another, of other people. And so this practically means that you have to engage with the larger body, with the body of believers. And this is more likely to, in our context, to happen in a Bible study platform. So I do want to encourage you to get involved into a Bible study where you hear each other's needs and you hear what is going on, and then we can pray for one another. Now, we, you know, I love our Bible study. We're growing, and we really bonded. And it's been week by week we meet, and this is what happens. We start to know each other better. We start to find what each other is facing, what the struggles are, what the needs are. You also start to see the annoying stuff as well, the faults. But that's part of a genuine community. Because we are sinners being sanctified by the love of Christ. And so the more we congregate and we in each other's lives, you will see more stuff that is annoying, but you will see also the mercies of God, and you grow together. Another practical thing that you can do, and I want to speak to as many of you young people here tonight. I love Central's eldership. I really do. They are men who love God and love the people at Central. Now, we are men, and so sometimes we fail, and busyness can get in the way. But I want to encourage you to invite an elder to your house and say, please come and visit me. And I know for a fact that all of the elders are more than happy and delighted to do that. And then we will know how we can pray for the flock better. So accountability is not a bad thing. Sometimes we feel like, accountability. Someone is going to be on my case. Accountability in terms of the local church is a good thing. It's a good thing that when someone is slacking off and hey, what's going on? I haven't seen your church. Come, let's go. Let's experience the means of grace. When you see that the person is discouraged, you go and encourage. Accountability is a true joy of a genuine community of faith. Secondly, is that we face affliction together. Now, just let us remember the context of this writing. The Thessalonians were facing persecution. They, remember, they had turned the world upside down. Actually, Pastor Charles made reference to it this morning as well. So that Paul had left Thessalonica. Now, Pastor Charles today was saying Thessalonica, so I don't know if I must say Thessalonica or Thessalonica. But anyways, they had to leave Thessalonica earlier, but Paul was in the next city, and they were not going through an easy time. Paul wasn't going through an easy time, and the believers there in Thessalonica with Jason and them were also not going through an easy time. They were both going through affliction. So look there in verse 7. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. So Paul is saying he is comforted in hearing of their steadfast faith. Now, have you ever been encouraged or comforted by seeing how people face afflictions? I think I mentioned this example before, but I don't mind saying it again. There was a member of my old church, Rosetta Baptist, and Hannah would remember Auntie Marion Seabrook, who faced cancer, and it was went through some really hard times. But whenever you would meet Auntie Marion Seabrook, she was not complaining. She was happy. She had a smile on her face. And the way that she faced suffering and affliction was an encouragement and a comfort to me. Maybe even something more recent, and I hope I'm not overstepping here, but I was encouraged on Friday. It was an emotional day for Auntie Carol, but I saw a number of ladies just weeping with her. See, that's true community. That's true genuine love. The joys of genuine community is that my love for you as a brother or sister is so great because of Christ that it makes us weep with those who weep. It makes us identify with those that are going through affliction. That we not just stand, you know, on the side and not completely senseless to what's happening around us, but true community will weep with those who weep and will cry and will pray. And there is a lot of families right now in our church that are going through deep waters where people have lost their jobs and finances and cancer and emotions. And let me say this, sometimes you won't be able to do anything but just pray or cry together with the person. But that's part of genuine community, facing the affliction together. We are rejoicing with one another and we face the affliction together. We cry with each other, and we pray, and we encourage. Let me also say this. Sometimes the very reason and purpose of the suffering is that you'll be a comfort to others. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, from verse 3. It's in the screen there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Listen to this. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And now that is really hard sometimes to grasp, because when you're going through affliction, the last thing you're thinking about is about comforting someone else. But it's exactly what Paul is saying. I'm going through affliction and I'm getting the comfort from God so that I can comfort others. In a genuine community, not only can we, in facing affliction, we can be comforted, but also, and this is amazing, it can be life-giving. Look at verse 8. It starts, "For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord." Now, if you just read that verse just like that, I was also at first glance, it's like, what are you talking about here? What? It seems so out of place. But this is what this is saying. By hearing of their steadfastness in the Lord, Paul's spirit is revived. A commentator puts it like this. The meaning here is that Paul now enjoyed life. He had that which constituted real life in the fact that they acted as as Christians, and so as to show that his labor among them had not been in vain. The same thing here affirmed is true of all faithful ministers of the gospel. They feel that they have something that may be called life, and that is worth living for when those to whom they preach maintain a close walk with God. And this is maybe more relatable for us pastors. It's easier to identify with this. Let me just use an example again, just from our own central life. About 2 weeks ago or so, Pastor Charles told us the news that one of our members told him that someone in their family had come to know Christ through watching the Hebrews series. So Pastor Charles went and met up with this person, and indeed the person realized that they were sinners and they trusted Christ for their salvation. Now, I was overjoyed. I was so overjoyed. I went home and I told Melissa, this is so, so cool that someone just watching the preaching of God's word came to Christ just like that, without any human intervention, without coercion or anything like that. It's the preaching of God's word, and someone was saved. And that, I'm sure for Pastor Charles as well, but for me, it brought us life. God is at work. And this is what Paul is saying here. As he hears that steadfastness of the Thessalonians in facing their affliction, it revives his heart. It gives him life. He says, now we live. But he does mention this is not a one-time thing. They ought to carry on in their steadfastness when they're facing affliction. And then we move on to our third point or joy, and that is that we grow together. In a genuine community of faith, we grow together. Look at verse there, 10, sorry, 9 and 10. "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see your face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." There is an aspiration for growth in two areas, and that is head knowledge and spiritual. Right. Now look at in verse 10, he mentions this, that we pray night and day that we may be able to see you face to face so that we may supply and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, remember the context. Paul had to leave Thessalonica very abruptly, and so he didn't finish giving all the theological instructions to them. And so when he's referring there to lacking in your faith, it's in terms of what they are missing in terms of their understanding. And for both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's going to address some of those issues that they haven't got right. They don't have knowledge. For example, they were worried about what's going to happen to those believers that have died before Christ comes back. What's going to happen to them? And they were stressing about that. Then we see in 2 Thessalonians, for example, there were some lazy Christians who were abusing the generosity of wealthier Christians, not wanting to work. And Paul goes and addresses that as well. So my first point is that there is, in a true community of faith, there ought to be an aspiration of us as a church to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures, to grow in head knowledge, to be saturated by the scriptures, to aspire to have more theological knowledge. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, head knowledge is seen as a no-no term. It's seen as undesirable. Let me quote Vodi Bocum, and I'm going to have two quotes from him, but I've only put the second one there, so I'll get to that one in a second. But he said this: "The United Negro College Fund has a motto: the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Modern Christianity has a different take on that. We just believe that the mind is a terrible thing. We talk about head knowledge as though it is a disease that needs to be cured. Because everybody knows that if you really want to love God, you've got to be ignorant." Right? And then he mentions this second quote: "The modern church is producing passionate people with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well." We ought to, as a community of faith, aspire to grow in our knowledge of Christ. And that is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. To grow doctrinally, to speak about the scriptures. I am simply saying our conversations need to be saturated with scripture. We want to grow together. We need to be learning what these new things, because the Bible is really rich, right? Does any of you think that they have arrived in their knowledge of the scriptures? If you have, please, I want to come and visit you so I can pick your brain. Because there's a whole bunch of things that I'm like, ugh. And let me say, I'm really encouraged by Central. In the past month, I've had 3 members asking theological questions. And I'm like, I need to research that. I need to research. And so a true community of faith wants to grow and aspire in the knowledge of Christ. Just as Paul wanted to supply that theological knowledge that was lacking in their faith, we ought to aspire to grow in head knowledge. And not only head knowledge, in spiritual growth. We see from verse 11 to verse 13, that's actually a prayer. It's a prayer. And it's so amazing that Paul is such a pastor, because he's just talking to them, and then suddenly, boom, prayer. He's talking to them, and then he just starts praying right there in verse 11. It's like, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see there is an aspiration that they will be holy? It cannot just be head knowledge. There is a life, a completely aspiration of a life that is devoted to Christ. And he prays for two things: that God will open a way, that he will come to them, and that they will love one another, that they will abound in love. Can you see? Head and heart, hand in hand. Yeah, head knowledge can puff up. You can become proud. That can happen. So you need the heart. You need to love and abound, because the more you love one another, you are humbled, you see your flaws. Head and heart, hand in hand. And if we think about Paul, and even in his letters, and the more we go through Thessalonians, you can see he doesn't compromise on theology. He loves theology. He will correct. He will call out names. He will hand people over to Satan. Say, like, right? He won't compromise on theology, but can you see his heart? Can you see his heart for the Thessalonians? Can you see it's not either or? Can you see it's a head full of a love for God's word and truth, and a complete giving of himself, loving relationship with the people around him? Can you see that? And just by the way, I separated, I realized this when I made it into two points. So, but head knowledge is part of our sanctification and growing in holiness. But we ought to have both, head and heart, growing the knowledge of him and abound in love for one another. Bound in love for one another. So I want to conclude with actually not a point of today, but what the first point of Jab was last week, because I think that is foundation. That true community stems out of a love for Christ, from Christ and for Christ. That our identity in him, that love, that's what really makes us united. And I cannot emphasize this enough. We are living in a day, and you guys will know better than I, because many of you are in the universities. Right now, all that the culture is saying is that you need to be united, and there's communities based on skin color, based on sexual preference, based on political parties. What are they called? LGBTQ community. And there's all these other communities, and the culture is screaming at you, this is how you're dependent on this and these things in order for you to really feel at home. That's a lie. That's a lie. As Christians, our identity comes from Christ. Christ is the bigger unifier than anything. Only Christ can put us in the same room together. Now look around you. If you were to talk about, you will find all kinds of differences, different tastes, different cultures, different languages. It is Christ, our primary identity. And unless Christ is at the center of our community, of our union, we're going to keep pulling from other sides. Christ is our primary identity. It is His love for us first. He loved us first. And in Him, because of Him, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. I'm so thankful for Jabu. We became such close friends, and we're very different. But it is only Christ and can bring us together like that. It is only Christ who can truly give us a genuine community, a genuine love, where the barriers that are being lifted in our culture fall apart because Christ is bigger and Christ is better. So may the Lord help us to be a genuine community where we are accountable with each other, where we face affliction together, and we grow together in head and heart. May the Lord help us. Lord, I want to thank you for the people right here. Thank you for your work in their lives, for saving us, for bringing us together. And Lord, my prayer really is that it will not be a superficial community. Christ really is our unifier. Christ is the one that unites us. We are His. And so we have the same mind in Christ, Lord. So help us to be in each other's lives. Not just sit next to each other, but yes, be in each other's homes, be accountable to each other, be patient with each other, pray for one another, caring for one another, forgiving one another, calling out one another. Help us to be accountable to one another. It's not easy. Our prideful hearts constantly want to pretend things are okay and better, and we may feel superior. Please humble us, Lord. Help us to be honest. Help us to face affliction together. Please help us, Lord. Please help us to weep with those who weep. And help us to grow, Lord. Help us to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to dig into the scriptures more and more. Help us to abound in love. Oh, Lord, help us to abound in love for one another. That our hearts will be filled with compassion. So please help us, Lord. We need you. We thank you for this community. Continue to grow us, Lord. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.